Good morning.
Good morning.
As you can see, the choir's not up here. It's all out there. So I'm going to need all of you to help out where you can. I'm going to be filling in for Brad today, so this is kind of like when you have substitute teachers. So I hope everyone will be on their best behavior, right? So anyhow, I would ask, if you would, for our first song, All That Can and Would, please stand. We're going to sing number 69 in the church hymnal. Number 69, a wonderful hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Everyone take a seat. In working through the song list for this morning, I always try to make sure that I can marry some type of scripture to a thought when trying to get the songs ready for this morning. And I was brought to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which of course is the Hall of Faith chapter in the Bible from my understanding. But in the sixth verse, it just simply says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So folks, let's seek the will of the Holy Spirit today in all that we do. So our faith looks up to him. Let's go to page number 92. Gentlemen, I really want to hear as much out of you as I can get. You know this one, so let's see what we got.
Thank you. There was a preacher years ago, used to live up in the country, name of Luther Stewart, and he told of an instance in his childhood, and I heard this secondhand from somebody that he told it directly to. Lived over in the holler somewhere up there, I don't know, Macon, Sumner County, not sure where, but the location isn't really relevant. But back in the day, they lived up in what they call a holler, and y'all know what a holler is, just a place up in there. And he went to visit his friend that lived down in the holler or somewhere, and he stayed too long, and he come back, and it was nighttime. No street lamps back then, no moon, and it was kind of an overcast night, and he couldn't see really well. And right there before you got to the house, he said that there was a little gully, and there was a little footbridge over it, and he wasn't the nimblest of walkers, so he was a little bit afraid. And he was fearful, he said, at that time, just, well, am I going to make it across here? And he was wondering about that, and he said he looked over, and he thought he could see a human form. He wasn't sure. But about that time, he saw the glow of a cigarette, and it was his dad. You know, his dad smoked. And he saw him, and he said, Luther, are you afraid? But he said, well, I was, but I'm not now. And so it is when, if we're afraid and it's dark and there's trouble about, how much greater it is if we know that God is there with us. And I like that song where it says, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. And I'm glad that he does. In spite of my frailty, in spite of my wrongs and my well-doing, my evil-doing, the mistakes that I have, he is right there. And sometimes it's good to feel that little hand. And I appreciate you singing that song. Good to see everyone that's here. And I'm glad to see the sun shining on this beautiful, bright day. It's just as pretty as it was last week. And I'm glad to see it. Real quick, a couple of things. I have a card here that I want to read. And this comes from the McClanahans, and y'all know who they are. And it says, Dear church family, thank you for the goody gift box. Your thoughtfulness and kindness are appreciated. We miss being in church and are grateful for your prayers. Merry Christmas. Best regards, James and Zadie McClanahan. And we do miss them, and we trust that he is well as can be expected. And we trust that the Lord will take care of them and other families who can't be here. And we're glad that to know that there's a God who can be with them in the nursing home, at home, and wherever they might be. Good to see everybody. We especially welcome our visitors. We want you to make yourself at home, and we hope you get some good from here today, and we hope you feel the blessing of the Lord while you're here. And be prayerful for the service. And speaking of that, we'll go into prayer requests here in a little bit, but I almost got things out of order. I do want to have a real small moment of time over here for the children, the children's church. So let's go. Hop to it. Come on, everybody ought to be running by now. Real quick. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Up, up, up. Here we go. All right. We got the mustache guy coming today. Let me see your mustache. Where's your mustache? Show everybody your mustache. Show everybody where your mustache is. Right there. I like that. Kason knows where his mustache is. Good to see everybody here. Y'all are a good-looking bunch. Y'all are coming ready to worship, ain't you? Yes, we are. Real quick, I won't keep you. But this may be a little bit of intro to what we might speak on a little while with the Lord being our helper. Does anybody know what a priority is? What's a priority? You ever heard somebody talk about priority? And maybe what is it? What is it? There's a kind of a certain word that wants to go with it. And I want to see if somebody knows it. What is it? Yes. Yes, that's right. And sometimes maybe we have a list of things, and the ones at the top may be the highest priority. Okay? So we understand that. But the word I want to use that, it's important. The highest priority thing is the most important, right? And we should give that the most attention. Y'all will find that in your lives, you're going to have a list of things to do sometimes, men, on a weekend. And you may have so much to do, you make a list. And what do you think that you want to make sure you get done first? Where does it go? On the very first of the list. That's right. It's the very first thing you want to get done because it's most important to you. Maybe, you know, and whatever the case may be. But there are things in this life that are important. Some of y'all may already be planning on who you're going to marry. That was a joke. I'm trying to lighten the mood a little bit. No, y'all are a long way from getting married. But when the time comes, when that time comes, I want you to be in prayer about that. You may be thinking about where you're going to go to school. UT, right? Go Vols? Maybe Vanderbilt. They teach good stuff over there. They really do. You can attest to that. Yeah. They don't play sports very well, but they are an institution of high learning, and I can appreciate that. So maybe you're thinking about that. But the most important thing in your life, the most important thing in my life, is fellowship and a relationship with God. That is most important. Out of all the things that you do in your life, I want you to promise me, promise your parents, promise God that when the time comes, you'll seek Him, that you'll come to know Him, and that you'll follow Him. Because there's a verse in the Bible. Who was Solomon? Somebody tell me who Solomon was. Y'all been studying the old Bible. Who was Solomon? Was he a king? Yes, he was. Who was his dad for extra credit? Anybody know? His dad was David, right? So he wrote a lot of important stuff in the Bible. And he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. A lot of stuff in there that talks about a relationship with Him, who we are amongst each other. And he goes into great detail there for about 12 chapters about how we need to walk with the Lord. But right there toward the end, he gives a summary. You know what a summary is? You just kind of, he says it in one verse. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, I'm going to tell you what's most important. And he says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He wants man to have a relationship with Him. He wants man to follow Him because He loves man to begin with. But we have to look for Him for those blessings. That's what he said. Y'all think y'all can say that verse if I gave it to you? Am I speaking to a cemetery here? The answer is yes. Let's stand up. Just repeat after me. Say it loud for the people in the back. They need waking up. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Yes. All right. Thank you, Mustache Man. I like it, Seth, when the plan comes together. I think they might be a preacher in that bunch. I'm not sure. We'll just pray that the Lord blesses all of them. All right, let's move right along. As we said, we want to enter in a season of prayer. And we've asked prayer requests this morning, and we made a little list, and we normally have some young person to come up and read that prayer list. There's also a list in the bulletin that some of you may have. So who's reading our list today? You? Very good.
Good morning, everybody. The prayer requests today are Brother Sonny in rehab, today's service with Brother Sam, Sister Barbara Faircloth, illness, Brother Tim Storms, illness and recovery, Brother Ricky Hackett's recovery, knee surgery, Sister Mona's husband, our patient procedure, Sister Priscilla's co-worker's cancer test, Brother Garen Tuck, niece for spiritual direction, family of Hubert Butler, if I'm saying right, will be buried tomorrow at 1 p.m. Garrett Vance's best friend, grandfather, both are pallbearers. Sister Sandy's daughter and family of a friend who passed away, Sister Churches and their pastors, and Sister Sheila Dillon.
There's never any wrong time to pray. And when we're in God's house, it's important that we do pray. So let's remember all these requests. Perhaps there's some unspoken requests that are out there, and we'll see that God will answer in a way that gives him honor and glory. But is there anything to add to the list real quick? Anything at all on your heart? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And we want everyone to pray in your own way, but we'll ask someone to lead us to the throne at this time. And Brother Randall, would you do that for us, please?
And until then, if you're familiar with that song, until then, we're just going to continue to live by faith. That's all we can do, folks. You know, you mentioned in the previous song we sung earlier, the line, I may have doubts and fears. I've heard people testify and say that they've been saved and they never doubted it a day in their life. And I envy those people. Because I'll be honest, there have been times I've had my doubts. But God being the good Father that he is, I think he wants us to ask questions sometimes. And the good Father that he is, he'll gently lead us along. And he'll show us the answers, where we stand. I know there are so many people I've seen growing up that struggled when they would go to the altar to pray and just couldn't find peace. And most of it is just because of those seeds of doubt. But just, I'll say in my experience, whatever my doubts have been, God has always found a way to show that he's greater than any of those. And he showed me where I stand, and I hope that he can do the same for you this morning. And until then, we will live by faith. Let's turn to number 162. Ladies, I need your help on this one. Gentlemen, shined on the last one. I need your help on this one. Living by faith.
Thank you.
The next song that I have for today is one that I hope most of us are familiar with. You've probably seen it in the book many, many times, but I don't know if it's been sung here very often. If you'll turn to number 127, I always heard growing up that this was about as as Baptist of a song as you can get. It's How Firm a Foundation. And I read a very, there's so many things I want to say. I don't know if you're like me, but when there's so many things you want to say, there's you want to try to get it in as quick as you can. But I read recently that there are 130 million Americans that can't read at a basic level. Now let me put that in perspective for you guys. The current population of the United States is 335 million. So that means one in three cannot read at a basic level. That means they cannot read a prescription, they cannot read a recipe, and they cannot read a book to their child or a little children's book. Now, in another way to look at this, there's 7 million people in Tennessee. So that's about 19 Tennessees. Right, I know. Now, here's why I say that. Our foundation is the Word of God. And it's really, really hard when we think about in terms of Christianity, and I know a lot of us talk about how it's, in some ways, it's dwindling. Folks, how is God going to reveal himself to a people who can't read more about him? It's a hard time that we live in, but you know what we have to do, folks? We have to try to live that faith. We're the only Bibles that some people will ever read. So, looking at this text, I want to digest it. It's a little older. This is what we call an Anglo-American folk hymn. And what that means is this is just a specifically American hymn, and it is absolutely beautiful. Let's look at this text. It just says, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word." The next line is probably my favorite. "What more can he say than to you he's already said? Ye who unto Jesus for refuge have fled." That tells us, ye who unto Jesus for refuge have fled, we are those, the scriptures. We're the only scriptures some of these people will ever read, folks. So as you sing this, for some of you the first time, for some of you the first time in a long time, sing it fervently. It doesn't have to be perfect. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Let's try to be that scripture to a lost person that we don't even know who they might be, okay? Let's try this.
Here we go.
Switch books with me. This was not on my initial list, but you know, sometimes things change and the Spirit leads in different ways. So we're going to try to go in that direction this morning. Folks, turn to page 9. Page 9. This is not an unfamiliar song to you. But I'm going to do something that may be unfamiliar if you've never watched the Bill Gaither Homecoming series. Gentlemen, I'm going to give you a job to do, okay? There's a set of notes that are not written in here, and I'm going to give them to you. It's not hard at all, but as you sing this song from, you know what I'm going to do. Yep. So, the first verse, we're going to go all the way through, but down at the very bottom where it says, needing a friend to help me in the end. Gentlemen, I want you to dig down deep and sing, brother, won't you tell me where? I just need that. Just that one little bit. Brother, won't you tell me where? And I think you'll like it a whole lot better if you've sung this song years ago. Sometimes it takes something a little extra just to make it stick out this morning. So let's get that message home. Where can I go but to the Lord?
Thank you, Brother Seth, sister, for playing the piano. Each thing that's been said and done, we want you to be prayerful for the service and pray for us as we try to stand and do that, that the Lord would give us utterance and bring to our mind things of the Word. Most of the time I tend to get my folly out there in front of everybody and tell you a little anecdote or something, and today's no different. And I pick on him because he's my pastor and I love him. But sometimes these are at his expense because he's not here, so he'll just have to deal with it. But y'all know Brother Ricky and Sister Paula, just great people. And up at home at Smith County, where, you know, I grew up and where, you know, a lot of us did, and they still have the fair there every year. And it's a great time. You know, the midway's there and the rides and all the stuff you can eat. And years ago, for a long time there was a fellow that he would bring a helicopter. And he would give people's rides, you know, for $50, you know, 5 minutes. Helicopter ride, $50. And when he first came there, you know, Ricky saw that and he said, hey, you know, I'd kind of like to do that. But Paula, which I understand, I guess she's the accountant in the family, she said, no, we can't do that, you know. Said, why not? She said, well, $50 is $50. So he said, okay. So they went on about their way. And next year they came back and here's the guy with the helicopter again. And he said, can we ride the helicopter? And the guy, the operator sitting there listening to their discussion, you know. And Miss Paula said, no, we better not. $50 is $50. So they went on. Well, he's back the next year. And Ricky says, you know, I really would like to ride that helicopter. And the operator says, okay, just hold on. He said, I recognize y'all. He said, y'all been here before. And you've discussed this, he said, and I understand that may be a little bit too steep for you. He said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll take you up and I'll give you a 10-minute ride for free. It won't cost you nothing. But you can't say a word. You can't utter a sound. You can't laugh. You can't, you know, scream for joy. So they looked at each other and said, okay. So they did. They got in there and strapped in and he took off. And he just didn't hover and go around a little bit. That guy did barrel rows and loop-de-loops, and he went down to the square, and he buzzed the tower on the courthouse, and he went under the Carthage Bridge over there, and he did everything you could think of. You know, he's a combat veteran, and he's learned to fly like that. So he came back, and he landed, you know, and he was pretty impressed. And Ricky stepped out of the craft there, and the guy said, well, said, that was pretty impressive. Said, I don't think I've ever had anybody not say anything, you know, with that kind of ride. And Brother Ricky said, well, he said, it was fun. He said, but you almost had me when Paula fell out. He said, she fell out? He said, yeah. He said, I think she'll be all right, though. She was, you know, happened when you went under the bridge over there at the river. And he said, well, why didn't you say something? Ricky said, $50 is $50. Matthew chapter 16. Y'all forgive me in my folly. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start reading it about the 24th verse. Now that my silliness is out of the way, this is the serious part. And I need you to pray. Lost sinner, if you're here, you need to listen. To what saith the word of the Lord? To what is before you and the consideration that we bring before you? And we tried to make a little point to the small group over here of priority in your life. But listen to what saith the word, and we'll kind of break it down for you. Some of it may be mysterious to you, but we're going to break it down for you. This is Jesus doing the speaking, the 24th verse, chapter 16, Matthew. He said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Very familiar scripture. I've probably quoted this quite a bit, but I tend to, think back and sometimes, and have I ever used this as a primary text? I don't know, but that's irrelevant. But this has been, burning on us for a while, and so we want to give it to you. But Jesus is often very direct, and often he gives you the gist of what he says. Sometimes I'm not sure that in one verse we might have found what he entirely said about that, but I can appreciate the fact that what's there is important. And if we can consider this for a little bit, in the first verse there were three items that he mentioned that he said, if a man, wants to come after me, this is man or woman, this is mankind, okay? Let's understand that. If men or women, boys and girls, want to follow me, and there's three things that he said there. You got to do these in order. You can't leave anything out. It has to be in that order. I take issue with doctrine that teaches that a Christian life is equal to salvation. No, you can't begin a Christian life until you're first a Christian, and you have to be saved. Let's get that out of the way right up front, And he says that here. Let him deny himself. That's the first thing. Well, in that, and we could preach on that for a while. There's a sermon in all of that. That'll preach, as we say, from time to time. Because to deny yourself means to turn your back on yourself and your ability to save yourself. And to deny others as the ability to for them to save you. That can't happen. It has to only come from above. You must be born from above, he says. And then he says, if you want to be a Christian, he said, let him take up his cross. Not my cross, he said, but his cross. So everybody has their own burden, their own lot in life, their own seat in the church, their own seat on the bus, so to speak, as my former employer used to say that when we were talking about the hierarchy of people in our group. Everybody has a seat on the bus. And you do too. And what's the last part of it? He says, follow me. And that's where the joy comes in. That's where the blessings come in. But we go on down there, and we'll get to our text in a little bit, but we wanted to revisit these verses that we read in your hearing. He said, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Well, that sounds kind of contradictory there. But no, it isn't when we peel back the layers of this meaning here and we talk about it. Because what he's meaning there, what he's saying is that whosoever is so concerned about the natural life, about the trappings of this life that we live in, if you're so concerned that you're concerned about wealth, about your job, about your health, about your hobbies, about your wife, your girlfriend, whatever that it may be. If that's your focus and you focus on nothing else, then you haven't lived a life at all. If that's your focus, you might think you have life. And if you choose to deny the afterlife, you're not going to have any life. Because the life that is in Jesus is one that is full of blessings, it is full of love, it is full of hope, it is full of that hope that is an earnest expectation. And if we seek after those things, if we seek after those things that be from God, then we will truly have a life. But if we want to go about things and we want to just have life in this life, if we think that we have life, one verse that comes to my mind, and I hadn't thought about this, he said, I come that they might not only have life, but have it what? Have it more abundantly. You can have a more abundant life in the Lord. And he says in the second part of that verse, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Shall find what? Shall find that eternal life that everybody's wanting. Everybody that I know of wants to go to heaven. I don't know of anybody that have ever said to me, I think I'll just go right on to hell. I don't know of anybody that has said that. And there might have been some that says, well, I think I'll go to hell. That's where all my friends are, and we'll have a good time. No, there's no good times to be had in hell in the lower world. But if you give up what you need to give up in order to find the Lord, then you will have life eternal. That's what he's saying in that verse. That's what he's saying. So let's keep that in mind, Christian friend. And there's a lot here to be said in this next verse about the sinner. And sinner, this is for you to consider these two questions. And he says that in light of what he just said. about making a life, about making a living, about attending to those things that are important to our well-being, our comfort, our joy, our happiness here. People spend a lot of time doing that. I do that too. I want to live as long as I can, as healthy as I can, and I want to have a good time. But some of the most fun times, I can say the most fun times, the most joyous times that I have are in the presence of God in His church. But He says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" If he has the wealth that you could pile up, back up the trailer trucks and fill them up with all the jewels, all the gold, all the wealth. If you're the wealthiest man, you're wealthier than the emir over in Saudi Arabia. You know, Elon Musk, whoever the wealthiest man is, if you have all their money piled together, yet on your day of death, how much are you going to leave? All of it. You're going to leave all of it. And if you exchange all of that for your soul, what this means here is if you lose your own soul, and we'll try to give you some scripture here in a little bit, it means to lose your own soul to an eternity in hell. That's what it means, to die without God. That's what it means in this. And he's talking about here, he gives reference back to those that want to pay attention to those things that are, you know, important to our bottom line, to our material profit, to those things that we have. And in their own sense, those things are important, but they're not all important. What's all important is to know God and to be saved. That's the most important thing. We talked about your priority, young children. You have to prioritize being saved because, and like I said, I've seen enough death seem like in the last few years that personally, and I step out behind this pulpit, just personally I say, I'm tired of it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave the land of the dying, Chad, and go to the land of the living. Because that's where my hope is anchored. That's where all dreams come true. That's where all my joys shall be fulfilled. I have such a good time here in this life with my friends, with all of you, with my wife. There's a lot I still want to see. But I'm looking forward to seeing that place over there in the long home. That's what I'm longing to see. Why? Because of what the Lord did for me back when I was a 12-year-old boy going the road up to Elmwood up there. Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. I was saved on the road to Elmwood at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. And I wouldn't take nothing for that. But he says here, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We read about those in the Bible who have gone on. We know people that we have lived with and worked with and know, and they never uttered anything about being saved. And I wondered if all those, even the one that hung on the cross there with our Lord and Savior, and I'm talking about the one that rejected the Lord, if he could come back for 2 minutes, would he repent and be saved? I believe that he would, but he has lost his soul. We might think of a few important things. Last week we tried to speak about those things that are fundamentals, that are important in this life. And the one of the things is that somebody might ask is, well, what is a soul? What is a soul? I've never seen it. You know, it's invisible. You know, the scientific community, those doctors and MBs that are non-Christian, you know, they said, well, we've opened up bodies all the time. I've never seen a soul. It's invisible. It's the invisible part of man is what that is. In the book of Genesis, he said that let's make man in our image. And he did. And that he gave us is his part of his spirit. He gave it. He said, and in Genesis chapter 2 and about verse 7, he said, he formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he did what? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the breath there can also be coassigned as the word spirit, because both of them in the Latin form have the root in the word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma, which is the forerunner of the word pneumatic, which is about air. So the spirit that he breathed in him had the air of his breath, of his lungs that he breathed in him. And what did he become? Man became a living soul. He became a living soul. He had an entity in him that would never die. It's made of God. This flesh that he made is made of the earth. All of that I'm looking at, someday there's a grave waiting on you. Somewhere, those that you go in the other way, there's an urn waiting for your ashes. I'm looking at an eternity-bound people. I don't know of anybody in here. What man is there that shall not taste death? What man is there that is going to forego this? There is none. I'm telling you what, it's appointed unto man once to die. That's why I don't believe in reincarnation, you know, because people want to say, well, I can come back as this or that. No, you only got one life to live, and you're going to die, and that's it. And your soul is the most important thing that you can have. Paul said in one writing over there, he said, though the outward man, you know, perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's what we call the inward part of us. It's called the inward man. It's called our spirit. It's called our soul. Some people want to think of the soul as where our spirit resides. I'm not so sure that there's two parts to that inward man. I just think there's one. And it's called the ghost as well. And the Bible gives reference to that, people. Listen, it's called that in various occasions here. In Genesis, in about chapter 25, it talks about, he says that Abraham gave up the ghost. And Ishmael gave up the ghost when he died. And our Lord and Savior, when he was hanging on the cross, he gave up the ghost. Ananias was one that he did wrong in the sight of God, and he died and gave up the ghost. Herod gave up the ghost and died and was eaten of worms. They died. That's what death is. It's the separation of the soul from the body. That's what happened to us. And we have feelings in there. And we can be fooled by the world sometimes by thinking, well, we have no soul. We have no inner feeling. All you can feel is emotions, and that's all part of your psyche, of your character. No, but our soul has feelings. Yes, it does. God has feelings, and he's the spirit. Our soul has feelings. Solomon said in the third chapter of his writing, about the third or fourth verses there, he talked about, by night I sought on my bed whom my soul loveth. So the soul has feelings, and Paul also said we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with our infirmities. So that emotion that we feel, you know, that character of our soul, that essence of our spirit is in there, and we can deal directly with God, and we know that it is God and that it is him. And there's no discharge in that war. Sinner friend, you might think that, well, I can cheat death. Well, no. There's no way that we can do that. We mentioned earlier that over in the book of Ecclesiastes about the fact that what he said in his writing, and here's one of the things that he said, eighth chapter of Ecclesiastes, in about the eighth verse. He said, there's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Listen. One thing that we talk about here, and even the dictionary, you can Google this, and to Google is a verb there. You can look it up. And it'll say that it's the inward part of man that's separate from the flesh. It's separate. That's where we have our affinity with God. That's where we have our affinity with God. But yet we said a while ago that what man there is there that shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? No. When death comes, when the death angel knocks on our door, that's it, and it's time to go. Then the soul leaves the body. And the other part that we have to face, and sinner friend, you must listen. You must understand this. That the condition of your soul at the time that you leave this world is going to determine its eternal destiny. I'll say that again. This condition of your soul at the time that you die is going to determine where you will spend eternity. If we had your funeral today, sinner friend, what would we say about you? Would you leave a testimony? And this is for those maybe especially who have been lost and are lost now and have sought the Lord. This is not a scare tactic. This is not something I'm trying to put so much fear in you that you pay attention to your own, you know, feelings rather than pay attention to what God is telling you. But if God is speaking to you through this message, you need to listen. If God is knocking upon your heart in the depths of your soul that you can't imagine that, you know, anybody else can get there and talk to you, that's the Lord talking to you, in my opinion. And you must be born again. So it's of utmost importance that we assure that our soul is prepared to meet death. He told the group of people there in the long ago, he said, prepare to meet thy God, because you will stand before God. All the God is going to get his honor and glory from everybody. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and every eye shall see him. Even those that pierced him. Sister Annette, are going to be looking at him. Sinner friend, I can tell you, you may have an appointments here and there in your life, and you'll miss some, but you're not going to miss your appointment with the Almighty. That's something that nobody can dismiss. Well, I think I'll do something different that way. No, you won't have anything different to do that day. You're going to stand before him and give an account. So we must assure that our soul is saved. We must assure that we have in our hearts. We want to give some old scripture that's found over here in Leviticus. Some good scripture. This is an older verse that we refer to from time to time. In chapter 17 and about verse 11. And it talks about here some meaningful things about the life of the flesh. And Moses is speaking here, and he says, he makes some distinguishing things in this verse with the help of the Almighty. He says, for the life of the flesh, this is chapter 17, verse 11, Levitical letter, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that seems to be a normal statement. They recognized back then that blood is essential to life. They understood that, you know, that somehow or another we had to breathe, but they also knew that if you didn't have any blood in you, you know, you would die. And with the medical community here, and part of my little research that I did on here, there's two conditions that I've read that humans suffer from at death. It can cause death by this, and they are hypoxia and hypoxemia. I hope I, you know, didn't butcher that. But that is the loss of oxygenated blood flow to your body, and specifically to the brain. That's what causes our death. And we know that if we didn't have that in oxygenated blood flowing through our body, that we would die. It's just a simple fact. And it's kind of mystery to me how that is performed on a molecular level. We breathe air into our bodies. And at the very bottom of our lungs in there's capillary vessels whose walls are very, very thin. And right there is where there's some air that's exchanged to that blood. And it gives that blood some new oxygen. And that oxygenated blood is carried throughout our veins. And so we know that without the ability to breathe, and that is in there, that's when death comes. If we don't have that oxygenated blood. But listen to what he says in the latter part of that verse. Let's go ahead and read all of it, then we'll come back to the latter part. He says, I'll read the first part again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Yes, even then, they knew that under the law of what they were practicing there, that there had to be a sacrifice. There had to be bloodshed for their sins. And that's what was the atonement that was made for their soul. And I want you to know here, sinner friend, that your soul's redemption comes down to a similar sacrifice. And it's going to take some blood, some God-given blood, to get you saved. It's going to take some blood that's applied to your heart down in the depths of your soul where nobody can see. It's going to take that for a sin to be rooted out of there, that sin of unbelief, and for you to be saved. That's what it's going to take for you to assure yourself that one day after a while that you can go to heaven with everybody else that's already gone, that's sitting there waiting, just saying, come on over. Come on over here. The weather's fine. It's always a good time in heaven. It's always sunny in heaven. It's always a good time in heaven. There's never a dry, there's never a bad tear. There's never a bad day. It's only joy and peace. And it's made better because Jesus is there. It's made better because Jesus is there. But for those who have already suffered the fate of having died, what do you think they would give, sinner friend, in exchange for their soul? Do you think that they could load up something, that material things, and maybe try to buy salvation? There's a lot of people that have tried to do that in this, and they're still doing it today. They can earn their salvation. But listen, that part of our soul is so precious, and we can't escape the fact that some people can't understand of the redeeming power of the blood, of the redeeming power of the Spirit. It bothers me that the Spirit is left out of so many altar services, so-called, that I see, that I understand that they're sinners who are brought there and they are convinced that they're saved because somebody told them to say something or they said yes to a positive answer to a verse. Do you believe this verse? Listen, that's happening. That's happening right now as we speak. Somewhere that is happening. Somebody is being deceived. But you can't leave the spirit out of it. You know, just like that air has to get down in there and oxygenate that blood, that spirit's got to get down in your soul and it's got to do its work. And you can't have it any other way. And the price was paid long ago. And there's no other price that we can pay for our soul. Listen, can you buy a soul? You know, what's the price of your soul? Anybody? We can't price it because it's priceless. And it can't be redeemed with material things. Listen, let's go to Psalms in about the 48th chapter and about the 6th verse and read a few verses here and bring in another thought here along this line. Verse 6, Psalms in 49, it says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious. It seeth us forever, that it should still live forever and not see corruption." Listen, it is beyond our comprehension of how precious a soul is. Why? Because it belongs to God and he put it in there. And only he can rejuvenate that soul. Who can bring a clean thing from an unclean? The writer said in the long ago. He said that over there, meaning that we are all as an unclean thing. We all have sin. And we can't redeem ourselves by any means, in any method, or any day. There's no way to do that. We must look unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. And we must make it our priority to be born again like that. And I'm satisfied to believe that there's many accounts in the Bible here who those who would had time to think about it. I've often said that God is a God of wrath. Yes, God may seem like he's just an all-powerful God and all he wants is bad things for us. No, all he wants is good things for us. God is fair. People want to talk about that God lets people go to hell. No, people go to hell because they fail to seek God and to be saved. There was a man in Luke chapter 11. He was a rich man, and he thought of nothing but his own produce there, what he could grow on his farm. The Bible says that it brought forth plentifully, and he had an overabundance. He had a bumper crop, you might say. And he said, "Well, I don't have anywhere to put all this." He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns and put it all in there, and it'll store up, and I'll just have many years of living." He gave heed to this life instead of the afterlife. Well, then God comes along in the latter part of that story and says, "Thou fool," he says, "this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be that you've provided?" Do you think that man would want to go back and exchange his soul for that and forget about all those crops and his farming? Yes, he would. He would like to do that. There was a young lady that I find over in Luke in one of the chapters over there in the gospel in about chapter 10, two sisters, and Jesus went to commune with them and he visited with them and he sat in the living room, so to speak, with one that was named Mary. And her sister Martha was in the back in the kitchen fixing supper, dinner, whatever it was, the meal was. And she was in there and she was doing all that, and the Bible says that Mary heard his word. So Martha comes in there and he says, "Jesus," he said, "tell my sister," I'm paraphrasing, he said, "tell my sister to come help me to prepare this meal that we've got to eat." And he said, "Martha, Martha," he said, "you're careful and concerned about a lot of things." He said, "but Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Listen, sinner friend, choose the good part. Choose the good things of God. Choose salvation. Choose eternal life today. Your soul isn't worth anything else in this life. It's not worth it. It's not worth anything that you might, temporary joy that you might have in this life. And there is an afterlife coming. There's an afterlife coming. One more reference that we'll give you and we'll finish here in a little bit. I see some of you maybe a little bit sleepy. I don't know. Do y'all know it's a scientific fact that if you take every Baptist that slept during Sunday sermon and laid them out end to end, they'd be more comfortable. But listen, I got an amen from Casey over here. But listen, in my folly, you have to excuse me, but this is serious business here. The rich man and Lazarus is one of the more notable accounts that we find in here. They lived at the same time at the same place. We don't know the name of the rich man, but we know the name of the poor man that laid at his gate. And they both died. And their bodies were buried, but their souls went off and they left. The rich man died and he went to a lower world. And he woke up. He became spiritually conscious there, aware of what was going on. and he was in torment. He was in torment. He had already gone to the lower world. Listen, after the Bible says that the dust will return to the earth and the spirit goes back to God that gave it, and it's up to him at that time to dispense accordingly to his word. He'll be fair. And if he hasn't seen Jesus' blood applied to your heart, he'll consign you, your soul, to a lower world. And that's what he did to that man. That poor man is still there today. But the rich man went to a lower world. The poor man, Lazarus, where'd he go? He was carried by the angels. Yeah, he had a free flight, one-way ticket to glory land is where he landed. Yes, he did. And he is still enjoying the rapture that is there today and all of that. Listen, people. If you let $1 billion stand in the way of you in salvation, that's really bad. If a poor person lets a nickel stand in the way between them and salvation, that's really bad. It doesn't matter the amount of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. It has sent more people to a lower world, and it'll continue to do that. But listen, ye must, sinner friend, be born again. Don't lose your soul. Don't lose the chance to live in the hereafter. And if the Lord is dealing with you now, if you feel sorrow and trouble, if you're feeling like I did at that time, that I knew that I was separated from God, you might think that, well, I'm a young person here. I'm in God's hands. No, if you're a sinner, God is separate from you. The Bible says that in his writing. He's separate from sinners. But David in the long ago said in the 116th writing of his Psalms over there, and I like this. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And y'all know that the word beseech means what? It means to beg. It means you got to beg. You know, you're going to have to do, as Jesus said in that teaching over there, you know, you got to deny yourself. You know, you have no ability to save yourself. There's nothing good about you. Yeah, you might be mindful of your, you know, what you need to do to your mom and dad and your school teachers and your coaches and everything. But if you're a sinner in the eyes of God, you're full of uncleanness. You are full of uncleanness. And David knew it here, and he begged for deliverance of his soul. What happened to him? I like to read further down. He said, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Listen, return unto thy rest, O my soul, because the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Yes, he got an overabundance of joy from that salvation that he was feeling. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Hath delivered my soul from death. He went from dead in sin to fully alive. Fully alive in Jesus, fully alive in the Lord, fully alive to never die. Yes, David is laying somewhere in the grave over there somewhere, and his ashes have long gone. But he is beholding the face of our Savior at this time. He's up there. The rich man is dying still. He's dying that second death. It's a continual death. The poor man is up there enjoying the raptures of heaven, the glories of heaven. And there is no other way whereby we must be saved other than through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, I don't want you to be deceived by thinking that you might get a pass. In other words, that you might think that, well, I've not done anything terribly wrong. You know, there's been a lot of people who have thought wrongly. We mentioned that, I think, in our sermon last week, of those that are going to get to the end of time and say, well, I thought this and I thought that. But listen, you might think that the Lord owes you something. You might think that you might live a life of servitude and the Lord will grant you salvation. Maybe he'll let you in. It doesn't work like that. The Lord owes nobody anything. I'll say it again. The Lord owes nobody salvation. But he will grant salvation at the very moment you meet his condition. And you have to meet his condition. There is no other way. There's no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. And that's through our Lord and Savior. Sinner friend, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Christian people, let's be mindful to have these lost people on our mind. We've talked here recently about the fact that we'd like to see 50 people saved. It could start right here today. Did we come here with the expectation to see somebody saved? Did we come here to the expectation to maybe see two people saved? Some people might have already been saved by the time we've been sitting here. I don't know, but God knows. Let's not be complacent. Let's not be satisfied just to sit back and just think that, well, we'll come hear the preacher preach, and I can do a lot better job, believe you me. I wish Brother Ricky could get somebody up here who could preach. But what time I am here, I want to warn you lost people, seek the Lord while he may be found. What would you give in exchange? And I'd like to have a song now, and let's have probably the most honorable and the most sincere part of this service. And that's your time. Send a friend for you to seek the Lord if you want to. Christian people, do your duty if you need to pray, if you need to testify. But let's have a song at this time, and we will turn it over to Brother Seth. And God bless you is our prayer.
We will do one verse of number 176, and it will be the second verse. The second verse.